This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
وكذلك أوحينا إليك روحا من أمرنا ما كنت تدري ما الكتاب ولا الإيمان ولكن جعلناه نورا نهدي به من نشاء من عبادنا وإنك لتهدي إلى صراط مستقيم صراط الله الذي له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض ألا إلى الله تصير الأمور.
Backbiting. Narrated Abu Huraira, Allah's Apostle, may his peace and blessings be upon him, said, "Do you know what is backbiting?" They, the companion, said, "Allah and his Apostle know best." Thereupon he, the Prophet, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, said, "Backbiting implies your talking about your brother in a manner which he does not like." It was said to him, "What is your opinion about this, that if I actually find that fault in my brother which I made a mention of?" He, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, said, "If that fault is actually found in him, what you assert, you are in fact backbiting him. And if that is not in him, it is slander."
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to another episode of Purification of the Soul.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
We were talking about tazkiyatun nufus, and we said that tazkiyah, or purification of the soul, the word tazkiyah in Arabic to mean purification has two connotations. It means, can I take it from you guys? What does tazkiyah mean?
Tazkiyah means to purify and cleanse one's soul of bad things.
That's the first meaning, to purify or cleanse one's soul from bad characteristics or qualities. What's the second meaning of tazkiyah, Muhammad?
After the cleansing, than to increase the soul in good characteristics.
Exactly, to increase the soul after that with good characteristics. Lutfi, let's have some examples of some of the bad characteristics, what we've already mentioned so far.
Like namima and...
What we've mentioned already.
What we've mentioned already.
Backbiting. Anger.
Anger, yeah.
And things like that, exactly. Another rampant disease is what is known in Arabic as namima, or tale carrying. Who can tell me what is tale-carrying? Lutfi?
Tale-carrying is about when two people is talking badly about other person. Yeah, and after that happen fight between the two person.
Nearly there, not quite exactly. Who else can expand on that?
It doesn't almost have to be something bad. For instance, they can be speaking regarding something and they think that they're speaking in confidence. Whereas the other person, he might go to the other person about who they're referring to. And he will say what they said, and that may cause some friction between them.
Nearly. What actually is namima is that it is to transmit the statements of some people to others, intending to cause friction and enmity between them. And Hudhayfa radiallahu ta'ala anhu reported that the Prophet ﷺ said, "The one who tale carries will not enter paradise." So it's a very serious sin. It's from among the major sins in Islam. So if somebody says about another Muslim that he is fat, short, or anything else that he would not like, and the person who heard that told that Muslim, so-and-so said about you that you're fat or you're short, then this would constitute backbiting as well as tale-carrying. Because in the original sense, in the initial conversation, they were backbiting, and then the person who was tale-carrying, he transmits that statement from the one who's backbiting to the one who's been backbitten. Of course, backbiting in the first place is haram. And what is the definition of backbiting, Gulraz?
Backbiting is to speak about someone, your brother or your sister, about them something that they don't like.
Exactly, to mention someone in a light that they don't like. And does it have to be active, yani saying something, or can it be by ishara or action.
It can be both.
It can be both. Exactly. So any backbiting constitutes anything that is mentioned about a person that he doesn't like. And we've spoken about that in the last few episodes. But tale carrying, on the other hand, means to transmit those statements and take it to another person. And this is because tale carrying can have an enormous effect in society. It can cause rifts and enmity between brothers. Yes, it is incorrect in the first place for the first person to backbite. However, one should not go and inform the one who's been backbitten. Instead, he should advise the one who is backbiting to abstain from what he is doing. Otherwise, instead of ending the backbiting, he would cause further backbiting because the person who originally was backbitten, he might start to backbite the first person. And you can see an endless kind of loop here. And then there will be bad feeling between the brothers. And this is why Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and indeed the son-in-law of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's reported to have said that the tale carrier in 1 hour creates the mischief of many months. And we can see this in a number of stories. It was related, for example, by Hammad ibn Salama, one of the great scholars of the past. He said that a man once sold his slave to another man. But he said to him that there is no bad quality in the slave except one thing, that he commits namima, that he tale carries. So the buyer, he didn't think that this was a big thing, and so therefore he bought the slave anyway. Now the slave remained with the new master for some time, and then he said to his master's wife, "Your husband no longer loves you." And he actually made this up. He said, "Your husband no longer loves you, and he wishes to take another woman. If you want to get this his love, then you should take a razor and shave the hair from underneath his beard." So then he went to his master, the slave went to his master and told him that his wife had taken another lover and he wanted to kill him. And to prove this, he said, "Pretend to be asleep when she comes." And the master did that and his wife came with the razor. And of course in those days the razors were like knives. And so the master thought that she had come to kill him. He took the razor from her and he immediately killed her. And the family of the wife, in turn, they took revenge and killed him. Then the family of the man came, and fighting occurred between the two families. So we can see from this, there's a very extreme example of where namima can really cause huge rift. Let's take some more.
So in this case, the slave was lying, so it wasn't even...
In this case, the slave was lying.
So it doesn't have to be something.
And that is namima. But also, if a person actually is telling the truth, that so-and-so said this about you, then even in that scenario, that would be namima. So both constitute namima. Let's have some more examples on namima. Lutfi?
Namima, it's when a husband and wife...
Yeah, let's have some real-life examples.
Yeah, when a husband wants to get married to another woman, mm-hmm. then the other woman go tell his wife, and then happen problems between them.
Yes, that's one example of namima.
You can also say maybe a good, close group of friends. Maybe perhaps some of them were talking, and they were saying something about one of the friends, and he was not present. And one of the friends decided to go and tell the other friends.
So they were backbiting?
Yeah.
And that was wrong in the first place?
And that was wrong in the first place. Mm. But when that statement was transmitted, it just caused a massive rift between
the people. So what happened exactly? The person who heard it, he went and told?
Yeah. He went and told the person that they were talking about.
Uh-huh.
And it just caused a massive rift, and ended up the group of friends just breaking apart. Mm.
Yeah, so you can see that's quite common, unfortunately.
Because then after that, lying stemmed as well.
But why did he backbite? Why did he carry the tale in the first place? Perhaps, I mean, there's many reasons. Sometimes a person could do that because he wants to feel like he wants to be closer to the second guy. Mm. So he was wrong in the first place by not stopping the backbiting. So then he goes and tells the second guy, thinking that the second person will say, "Yeah, this is a true friend of mine. He's telling me what..." And this is actually one of the traps of shaitan.
Sometimes they relay, someone may relay some information that causes friction, but he doesn't intend with it anything bad.
No, it still considers namima if that it is known that it will cause friction. Mm. You have an example?
One example that comes to mind is there's two brothers, and you know they were close brothers, but they had a little issue between themselves, a small issue. So there was like an invitation by one of them. So he invited a few brothers, and the brother that he was close to, that he had some friction with, he couldn't make the dinner. So he was unable to make the dinner.
Mm-hmm.
So because of a legitimate reason, he was busy, he couldn't make it. So one of the brothers, he said to the host, that brother, the reason he didn't come is because he doesn't like you.
Mm.
You know, he doesn't like you, he doesn't like coming to your house. Which wasn't true, the person legitimately couldn't make it.
Mm.
So then this stayed in his heart.
Yeah.
And then what made it worse was that the other person then had an invitation, the one who couldn't make it.
Mm.
And when he, and the person who was the host originally,
mm.
he then didn't turn up to his house.
He didn't turn up to the first guy's house.
So then the same person says, see, look, the reason he didn't turn up because you didn't turn up. And then it caused great...
So it causes problem.
Great friction between the two.
Yeah, and these are live examples of namima. And we can see how this namima, in some cases, is true. The person did backbite. In some cases, it's not true. And of course, the latter is a greater sin. Because he's not only doing namima, but on top of that, he's actually lying. So there's many examples
of that. If the person did not think that that statement would cause any friction, but he still relays it, what...
He shouldn't relate anything that's bad. Anything that constitutes backbiting, he should not relate back to the original person. Okay, to the person who's been backbitten. And likewise, anything that causes friction, that may not have been backbiting, okay, even in that scenario, he should not relate those statements. This is why when a person came to Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, the great caliph of Islam, to inform him what somebody had said about another person, he said, if you wish, we can verify this matter. And if you have lied, then you are from this ayah of the Qur'an. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِن جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَأٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا. That if a sinner comes to you, then with news, then verify it. And if you have spoken the truth, then you are from this ayah. وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ. Woe to every backbiter, every slanderer. And some scholars said that it means the one who does namima. So the backbiting one who goes around slandering. Alternatively, if you wish, we can pardon you. So the man promptly replied that he would prefer to be pardoned and he would never repeat the sin again. So Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, he understood that if what he had said was true, then he would be a tale carrier. If what he had said was true, then he would be a tale carrier. He would be doing namima. And this is a sin. And if he had lied, then he would have been a fasiq, a corrupt sinner, whose statements need to be verified, as in the ayah there. And Imam Al-Hasan Al-Basri, rahimahullah, he once said that if someone carries to you the statements of others, then know that he will go to others with your statements. In other words, if someone has this bad quality of tale carrying, and comes to you informing you that so-and-so said this about you, then he is likely to do the same with your statements. He will go to another person and he will say that you said such and such about him. And so, this is a very important to keep away from such an evil sin. After the break, inshallah, we'll have a look at some of the things that a person could do when a tale carrier comes and says that so-and-so said this about you. Assalamu alaikum.
And people need each other's, need scholars more than they need to drink and eat. Because even regarding what we drink and eat, we may not be able to figure out which is permissible and which is not. The Quran is not preserved in the books only. The seerah of Prophet Muhammad ﷺ is not preserved in the books only, but in the hearts of men. In the hearts of people who have devoted their time to seeking knowledge. Belief and trust, tawakkul, that none could take place without the knowledge of Allah.
Welcome back. Before the break, we were talking about namima. What is the definition of namima, Gulraz?
To when you carry tales, when somebody gets some information, mm-hmm. and passes on to someone else to cause friction between two people.
Yes, if he relays statements to cause friction between two things. And we mentioned some examples of namima, and we can see how evil it is. The Prophet ﷺ said that the one who tale carries, he will not enter paradise. He will not enter paradise. So why do people still tale carry? I mean, if it's such a...
I mean, you can look at this from all aspects of life, to be honest. There's so many reasons. For instance, maybe a person in a classroom wants to become maybe the teacher's favorite student. Mm-hmm. He might tale carry in order to give a bad impression of other students.
So how would he do that?
He may just make something up. Or he may relay a bad quality about that person, which he was that person.
Maybe
does not
a student
want to
speaks badly about his teacher, yeah. and he says, "Hey, oh teacher, this so and so said this about you." Mm. That's tale carrying. Yeah. Gulraz, do you have any?
Again, throughout your work life.
Work life, very common. I think this would affect a lot of people at work.
For example, many people want to get promoted.
Mm, or be close to the boss or something.
Close to the boss, you know, pay rise, etc. So obviously when they're working with other colleagues, they want to raise the rank in front of the employer. Mm. So they'll say, you know, such and such, he says bad things about the company, about yourself, etc. Mm. You know, don't promote him, promote me.
Mm. And at home we have two brothers. One of them wants to be the favorite for his parents. Then he goes and talked badly about his other brother and tell him that he's doing so and so and so, so that he can be the favorite one for him.
Yeah,
for
very
parents.
Common in society. So what should a person do when a tale carrier comes to him and says, so-and-so said this about you, so-and-so said this about you? Let's have some examples. Gulraz?
I mean, it's hard because when you hear something, it always stays in your mind. But you should try and, you know, tell the person that, you know, I don't want to hear it. You should advise him what the Prophet ﷺ said about tail carrying.
That's very good. Any other ideas?
Yeah, he can go and tell the person why he said it and try to discuss what happened.
Actually, there are six things that one can do when somebody comes to him as a tail carrier. The first thing is he should not believe the tale. He should not believe the tale. Absolutely, he should not believe it. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, in ja'akum fasiqun binaba'in, fatabayyanu. If a sinner comes to you, corrupt sinner comes to you with news, then verify it. Now the tale carrier, is he a sinner or isn't he a sinner?
Sinner.
He's a sinner. The tale carrier is a sinner. So if the tale carrier comes to you with news, then you must verify it. The tale carrier is a sinner, and in this ayah Allah is prohibiting us from believing the statements of a sinner until they have been verified. So as far as we're concerned, the first thing is we should not believe the tale. We should not believe the story. The second thing is he should prohibit the tale carrier from this sin. And he should give him sincere advice, hoping that he stops. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and command the good and forbid the evil. And this is from Nasiha. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Ad-deenu and nasiha. The deen, the religion of Islam is nasiha. So it's very important to give advice, to stop the evil as well that's being carried out in front of you. So for example, the Prophet ﷺ said, مَنْ رَأَ مِنْكُمْ مُنْكَرًا فَلْيُغَيِّرْهُ بِيَدِهِ فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِلِسَانِهِ فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِقَلْبِهِ وَذَلِكَ أَضْعَفُ الْإِيمَانِ. That whoever among you sees an evil, let him stop it with his hand. And if he cannot do that, then let him stop it with his tongue. And if he cannot do that, let him stop it with his heart. What does it mean when the Prophet ﷺ said, stop it with your heart?
Does it mean to dislike it, to hate it?
To hate it. And now imagine if you're in a place which you hate, what would you do? You'd leave. And this is a big misconception among people. They sit in the gatherings of backbiting and namima and tail carrying and all this thing. They say, hey, I hate it in the heart. But if you hated it, you would leave. It's quite simple.
And if he doesn't leave, then what?
Then the Prophet ﷺ said, وَذَٰلِكَ أَضْعَفُ الْإِيمَانِ. To stop it with your heart, in other words, to hate it in your heart, is the weakest form of faith. Is weakest form of faith. And that means that if a person doesn't leave, then perhaps he's on dangerous levels with regards to his iman. Let's have a look at some statements which we've collected earlier on about namima.
Talking about other people when they are not present, whether with good things or other or bad things.
Probably because they are so bored of their life and they just like to talk about other people in their absence. Yani, I think people, especially in Egypt, they like to speak about people in their absence because yani, they're so bored of their life. You know, they want new stuff to speak about. And it's bad. It's very sad, actually.
Well, basically, because they don't spend a lot of time worshipping God or Allah. And instead of this time, they spend in talking about other people, what Allah gave them and didn't give others and didn't give them. So that's why they do a lot of namima.
I think I advise any person who takes carries not to take carry because he must think whether he would like other people to take carry on him or not. Because I have a general philosophy in life that if a person likes that other people treat him well, that he should treat other people well in return.
I should say to a person who tell carries that he should always regard other people and regard himself. Regard himself, regard his flaws first before he looks at other people and starts to make fun of them, because in the end, it's usually a way to hide what's someone's real flaws and faults and stuff. So I think he should really look at himself first before he looks at other people and starts to talk about them.
I think I should tell a person to take carries that he should look for himself inside before telling carries about other people. And the first thing he must do that he will see the person inside and see the defects inside himself and manage to manage it or to just being better and better than saying carries on other people.
Some very pertinent responses there. The third thing that we should do when a person comes to us, and before we go on to the third matter, in fact, what are the first two that we just spoke about? When somebody comes to you and says, so-and-so said this about you.
Not to believe it,
yeah.
Tell the person to
fear Allah. Fear Allah. Exactly. Tell the person who's backbiting or tell the person who's actually tail-carrying, hey, this is a sin. The Prophet ﷺ said that the tail-carrier will not enter paradise. You're on dangerous levels now. And also he should walk out because he should change the evil with his heart. In other words, hate it. And if you hate something, you won't be there.
So if he doesn't walk out, does that mean he's partaking in that backbiting?
In a sense, yes. Yes, in a sense, he's partaking in that.
And so the sin would be upon him?
The sin would definitely be upon him, yes, in a sense. The third thing is that he should dislike the one who carries tails. He should hate him. As he is disliked and hated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have to dislike and hate those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates. So a murderer, for example. And if he hasn't repented, then we have to hate him. Anyone who does a major sin, then we have to hate him. And from tail carrying is from the major sins. But we hate him according to the level of his sin. And also there's a bit more explanation to this. In that some people think that if I hate someone, that's it. That's total hatred. This is not the case. In Islam, in the English language, when we say hate, it means hate. You can't love and hate someone in the same, from the same heart. But in Islam, Islam is more just. That you can love and hate someone together. So for example, if someone is a murderer, you hate him for his sin of murdering. You hate the sin and you hate the person for doing that. But if the person, for example, he has iman, and maybe he's good with his parents, maybe he prays a lot, he may well be a murderer, but he does all these other good things, then you love him to that level, according to that. So love and hate is not a binary, if you like. It's not total love or total hatred. No, you can have love and hatred in the same heart for one person. And Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, he explained this very well. He said, it's like the poor person who happens to be a thief. Okay, he's poor and he's a thief. But he's not a thief because he's poor. He's stealing some other things which has got nothing to do with his poverty. Okay, so the poor person who happens to be a thief. The Sharia comes and gives him money for being poor. Gives him money for being poor from the Bayt al-Mal. And then at the same time the Sharia chops off his hand for what? For stealing, if all the conditions are there. Of course, this would be done in an Islamic state only. So if that's the case, you can see how we can love a person. He's a Muslim, he's poor, we have to give him his rights accordingly. And at the same time, we hate the person for the sin of murdering, for example. And of course, if in an Islamic state, if he was actually murdering, then he would have qisas, or whatever the various levels according to the various conditions. And if he was a thief, as we said, his hand would be chopped off. So we have hatred as well as love for the same person.
So even if he's doing something wrong, it doesn't stop him from giving his right.
Absolutely. And many people don't realize this. So we hate the person who is a tail carrier, but at the same time, if he is a person who, for example, deserves zakah, then we still give him his right because he's a person who deserves zakah. And this is what Allah says, اِعْدِلُ هُوَ أَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَى. Be just. Be just. And that is closer to piety. So justice in Islam is a balance. So we look at the good qualities of a person as well as the bad qualities, and we act in accordance to both. The fourth matter that one should do, the fourth thing that he should do, or he shouldn't do, he should not have bad thoughts about or be suspicious of his brother who is absent and whose speech the tale carrier is claiming to be relaying. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, keep away from much suspicion, فَإِنَّ بَعْضَ الظَّنِّ إِثْمٌ. Because some suspicion is sin. Some suspicion is sin. اجْتَنِبُوا كَثِيرًا مِنَ الظَّنِّ فَإِنَّ بَعْضَ الظَّنِّ إِثْمٌ. Keep away from a lot of suspicion because some suspicion is sin. So this is very important. It's very difficult to do that. Somebody comes to you and says, oh, so-and-so said this about you. Number one, you can't believe him. But also we should not suspect. And imagine in our examples that we've seen before, that if the person who was told so-and-so said this about you, if he didn't believe it and he didn't suspect about him, then it would be much better in that scenario. The fifth thing is that the statements that have been related to him by the tale carrier should not lead him to spy, and he should not try to find out if what was said is true or not. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا, and do not spy. So he shouldn't go and hide and put, you know, bugs in the person's room, or whatever extent that person goes, hey, is he really speaking badly about me? And this really comes from taqwa, from piety, that a person says, I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, somebody told me this, but he's a sinner and I can't believe him. Okay, and also one can try to rectify between him and the person who he thinks might have said something. The sixth and last thing that a person could do is that he should not fall into doing what the tale carrier himself did by spreading the statements to other people. Otherwise he will end up committing the sin of Namima himself, and he could be liable to the same punishment as the first person who started carrying these tales. So a person comes to another person and says, so-and-so said this about you. He should not go and say, oh, did you know what so-and-so said about me, to somebody else? Because then he himself will also be a person who does namima. And we know the Prophet ﷺ said, the one who does namima does not enter paradise. With this, inshallah, we'll end today's episode. And in the next episode, we'll talk about a very, very evil and dangerous disease called hasad or envy and jealousy. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.